Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I am your host, Lexi, and today I have a friend on the show. Her name is Karen Millsap. She is awesome. We have met one time and we hit it off immediately. Her love for people, her love for Jesus, her love for encouraging others is just so apparent when you have a conversation with her. I am so excited to have her on the show talking about being a mindset coach after experiencing some hardship several years ago, just a really, really tough year that she had that led her to where she is today. She's had a TED Talk. She has been featured on lots of different platforms, lots of different podcasts, and I am so thrilled to have her on the show today. Karen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, of course. I'm happy to be here. Yes, let's do this.
Yes, let's do this. Girl, why are you passionate about mindset and what does that mean to you?
You know, I didn't like set out to be a mindset coach, but I lost my husband 6 years ago. You know, that is the pivotal moment that put me on this path and that completely changed the trajectory of my life. But even after that, it wasn't like this immediate clarity of how I wanted to, I say, take that pain and turn it into purpose and pay it forward to help others. That phrase is what God laid on my heart, but I didn't know what that meant. I was kind of like, wrong person. That is not me. And even early on when I went through that year, as you mentioned, of just losing so many things, again, I didn't know that I was going to be an entrepreneur, but I lost my job a year after Richard died. And I was thinking, woe is me. Honestly. But then in that moment, I changed my mindset with the exact same words, right? I was thinking, now what? Thinking I was a failure. I wasn't able to provide for my son. You know, I just got laid off. What am I supposed to do? And then the same words, now what, with excitement, changed my whole perspective on a new chapter that was really being laid out in front of me. And so even then, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was still trying to figure it out. I thought I was like going to put on a superwoman cape and try and like cure grief in the workplace. That was my initial stab at being an entrepreneur. But what I learned was that early on, as I was building my business, I was focused on the problem, what I should be focused on the solution. And that's what switched my brand from talking about grief to talking about growth. And also as an entrepreneur, you have to listen to the market. And while some people wanted to talk about grief, I recognized that was also a barrier to entry for people who still needed these kinds of tools and resources and tactics and really just lively conversation. Because what it boils down to, Lexi, is how we care for our mindset. How we train our brain. You know, we talk about training our bodies and taking care of our bodies. Why aren't we talking about taking care of our mind? Because when I looked back at my healing journey, honestly, it was seeing how I was able to visually shift my focus from the pain and the victim mindset to no, I'm going to do this. I am not going to let my son down. I'm going to make my husband proud as well. He's going to be up in heaven like, go ahead, babe. I see you. You got this. Like, I want to live that kind of life, not a defeated life. And it all started with the thoughts and the stories that I was telling my mind. And so, you know, really what happened was I recognized that's not innate for everybody. So I just asked God to amplify that, to give me the knowledge and the resources, and even to help me peel back the layers of my rapid thought process so I could slow down and be able to explain it for other people so they could apply it to their life. And I feel like when I opened up my heart to that, it's when I felt like I was in complete alignment with God's purpose for my life.
Oh, it's so beautiful. A few years ago, I was at a leadership training and they talked about how 90% of life is what you make happen and 10% is what happens to you. And so I think a lot of people, especially in 2019, people are walking around with the victim identity on their forehead of whatever offenses that they've picked up and decided to make their identity. And how have you seen that really be the opposite? They're trying to make them stronger, but it's making them weaker. How have you seen that kind of play out and what does that look like? And how can you kind of shift your mindset to be a victor and not a victim?
Well, when I think about my story, you know, I felt like, yes, we are technically, my family, our whole family, we're victims of this heinous crime, 1,000%. But me being a widow or me living with the suffering on my sleeve, that's a choice, right? Mm. I'm sorry, not the widow, but living with a widowed mindset. Because right. when you're widowed, you're feeling like I'm completely alone. I'm isolated. Nobody understands. Like that's how it feels. And it kind of feels like a scarlet letter, you know? But I say that because if a widow is happy, they're in this day and age, there's always some judgment. Like, oh, well, why is she over that so quick? Or she, you know, it's like all these different things that you don't even expect or anticipate, but you're like, wow, I smiled in a picture with my kid. I cannot, but right. So my point in saying all that is whether somebody is judging you or whether you are comparing your life to other people and you are judging yourself, whatever that looks like in 2019, we have so much access to other people's lives and their stories and all those things that we could either be victim to somebody judging us because we're sharing so much or an internal comparison battle.
Hmm.
Either way, it really clouds your connection to God, who he's trying to make you, who he's trying to show you, like how he's created you, right? And so I had to shed all those things, the label of being a widow, the judgment that I would receive from others, the criticism that I was like putting on myself, right? I mean, it's of these different layers. And I like for the first year, I didn't go to church. It was so hard for me. I walked into the church 3 weeks after Richard died and some man in the aisle in front of me put his arm around his wife, a very natural thing. And I broke down. I was like, my husband should be right. So in that first year, when I wasn't going to church, I got closer to God just based on my conversation and just saying like, hey, talk to me. Like, what do I do? How do I move through this day? When offenses did come my way, God, how do I handle this with your eyes, your love, your wisdom? Like, because I felt like I didn't have it inside of me. You know, I didn't have the strength or the clarity because I was so steeped in grief that I couldn't even find my own way. And I think that's what it means, you know, and that's why it's in scripture to say like, in this world, you're going to have trouble, right? But we're supposed to lean on God. We're supposed to lean on Jesus because when those offenses come to us, if we can get our mind in that standing with him, then it allows us to push through in that way that's just totally authentic. And that is coming from a good place. And that's rooted in spaces where God can continue to redeem and work in those areas. Because if you're offended, that also means that there's some healing that needs to happen in your life, right? It's not just about what that person said to you. Wow. It's about how you received it. And so I try to really take all of those different kinds of, I say we're like on an emotional roller coaster, all of us, we're up, down, all around. And so when I find myself in some of those pits and some of those dark spaces, whether it's coming from an external force or my internal thoughts, I really just try to turn to God and say like, how do you want me to approach this? If it's a lesson learned or if it's a space of healing, whatever it looks like, can you please come and get in the driver's seat? Because I'm not sure how to deal with this. And I feel like the more I surrendered, the more freedom I found.
Wow. That's really powerful. And for me, I would go with the first one of the judgment of myself based on, other interactions that I've had. And, that's been tough for me because I think sometimes, I can be my own worst critic. We all can. So what are some kind of tools that you've seen be helpful when you start that self-doubt talk or self-deprecating or, you know, God's called you to be, you know, a mover and shaker for his kingdom, but you start feeling like other people are kind of caving in on you and you're like, wait, am I supposed to be this much of a force for good? Or do I need to quiet myself? I don't know if that makes sense, but even as women in the church, I personally want to be aligned with God's word. And sometimes, the church has a stance on women in ministry and how much we can and can't talk. And so I'm like, here I am, this bold leader that wants to just shout from the rooftops the gospel and his presence and all of this stuff. But then sometimes I start to kind of shrink myself because of either someone's comfort or because of what someone's interpretation of the word of God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that. So here's a big thing. Whenever we are thinking a negative thought, the first thing is to identify that that is not from God.
Hmm.
That is a very first thing. I teach my son this, right? Whenever you're feeling afraid or whenever you're feeling doubtful or you think that you can't, like, that is not God. God is love and everything that stems from that. So that's the first thing, is to identify if you have any negative feelings, to recognize that is not from God. What brings you joy? What gives you energy? What is helping you to spread more love into that world? That is when you are in alignment with who God has created you to be. And yes, it is going to go against other people's thoughts because their thoughts are limited to their beliefs and their perceptions, right? God is omnipotent and has this view of the world, so much so that he created everybody with very individual, unique talents and abilities and this fire inside of you because he knew that it would be needed in this world at that time. So if you are feeling alive by something and somebody else is telling you to suppress it, the first thing is to check, hold on, is this rooted in God, which is love, right? If what I am doing is rooted in God and love, then why would I let somebody else dim my light? It may be making them feel uncomfortable. Sorry, I'm not here to please you. I am here to live out what God has called inside of me. And the way that we know that we're on path is when we feel like, yes, this is giving me energy. This is giving me life. This feels like love, you know? I actually, and so I'm sorry, really quick to wrap up that thought. When you notice that it is not a positive emotion, then shift to the exact opposite. Right? So if you're feeling fear, then shift to courage, right? If you are feeling irritable, then switch to patience. Like it's any, if you're feeling angry, shift to kindness. If you can just switch to the opposite, you're going to find yourself back in alignment with what God needs you to be. And I know that, like, so for me, I feel like when people talk about, oh, am I hearing right from God and all of that? I mean, that's an awkward space for me. I'll be honest. I've had moments where I'm like, no, I know God is saying, lean into this and do this, but I don't always share that with people because I don't want their judgment. And I don't know if God, like hearing from God is the same for everybody. But then I was watching The Karate Kid with my son. And there was this really great moment where the Karate Kid was with his sensei, with Mr. Miyagi. And they were pruning these little bonsai trees. And so Ralph says, he's like, how do I know that, is it Ralph or Danny? No, Danny. Ralph Macchiato is his real name. Okay. So Danny says, he said, how do I know that I'm doing it right? And Mr. Miyagi says, if it's coming from within you, then it's right. And I feel like that is such a powerful statement, is that nobody can tell you what God has put in your heart. Nobody will be able to, one, tell you, but also be able to fully understand, even your closest friend or your spouse or all that, because that is between you and God. That is a direct relationship we have with him. So if we stay open to that and we trust that what is coming from us is true and in alignment with how he's created us to live out our purpose, then we can just push all that noise to the side. And if we ever feel like we are out of alignment, I always say, God, fill this space with your grace. Because if you're doing it with the right intentions, he will continue to cover you and just, you know, shower you with that provision.
That's really powerful, because I think that sometimes it can cripple us when we are so fearful that we're not in alignment with him, or that theologically we're going to step out of what he wants us to say or do. And it's crippling. And I think that that's actually what the enemy wants, is to silence us. And so that's really powerful, is just to grasp this thought of switching our mindset to, I'm going to keep going for this. I'm going to keep running this race, and I'm going to pray that God just convicts my heart when I kind of step out of line, and he'll get me back on there with his grace and with his gentleness, because his word is gentle, and his truth and his love is gentle, and it's, he speaks in a language that we can understand. So for some people, that's an audible voice. For some people, that's experiencing dreams. For some people, that's through coffee with a friend. You know, he speaks to us in so many different ways, and in his word, the words that are living in his word. So let's talk a little bit about.
And one more thing.
Yeah, go.
He also speaks through closed doors. If he closes a door and you think that you were supposed to be going down that path, and it all of a sudden comes to a stop, you can pretty much say that, yeah, that's God saying, no, you're not supposed to be here. I have something else for you.
Yeah, that's so true. And so let's talk a little bit about habit, and what is weeks, because forming habits is a mindset shift. So how do you talk to, let's say you have either a group that you're working with, or actually let's rewind. Let's talk a little bit about your business. What are some of the areas that you provide for your clients, and then how do you work with them when it comes to habit?
Yeah, so I work in two capacities. One, serving individuals, and the other is helping organizations. In short, with organizations, the entry point initially was talking about grief, because I just think that nowadays the successful businesses do want to show that they care about their people, and they do actually want to extend resources or knowledge to their people for them to be, you know, whole. And so initially it was talking about grief. It shifted to talking about mindset at the perfect time, because now we're having so many more conversations about mental health. And I really want people to feel empowered to have those conversations at work, because mental health is not just mental illness. It is about mental strength training. And if you're doing a wellness week at your, you know, organization, or if you're thinking how you can bring that kind of knowledge to your people, then just giving them those tools of creating habits with their mindset is a great way to help them take care of their mental health, right? So that's one way that I work with organizations. And then for individuals, what I've noticed is, and being an entrepreneur is really hard. You got to be flexible.
Yes.
I'm going saying, oh, I can just help you with this. I can give you the tools. I can give you the resources. But then I took a step back and I looked at how people were coming to me. Hmm. And when they were coming to me, they had some sort of idea or a product or a business or something that was tied to the impact that they want to make in the world. So what happened was, the people who were coming to me, they had these ideas, or they'd already started making progress, but they were just feeling like, wait, how do I bring this into actionable steps? And so I decided, okay, I can help people declutter their mind, organize their thoughts, and create a strategy and action plan to make sure they're living out their impact, right? Wrapped up into all of that, like, business goodness and strategy is your mindset.
Wow.
So here's an example. There's a woman who I helped a few weeks ago, and she is coming up to this transition point in her career. As she's leaving one position, she has about a year before she's going to go into a different venture. And she started writing a book about maybe 2 years ago. And so I talked about, what does your year look like? Let's break that down into quarterly goals, not mini goals, just big quarterly goals. And now let's just look at the next 6 weeks. What do you need to do, right? It's like breaking it down into bite size. And then I told her all of these ideas that were floating around of what you should do at the end of the year and what should come next. Literally, you need to put those on the side, to the side until May, right? Because she knew, but she didn't have to make a decision between now and May, but she needed that structure, that framework in her mind. And I reinforced that the more you dwell on things that are not important right now, that is robbing you of the energy and the time and the clarity and creativity that you need to focus on the book that you are almost finished with.
Wow.
And so if you can just, like, organize your thoughts in a way that helps you to be fully present, then you're going to be able to be the most impactful, right? You're going to be able to show up fully and be your best self in the present moment. And that's what counts. Yeah, we all have different goals that we want to achieve, but it's like, how do we organize that in a way so that where we're living right now in the present moment, we are maximizing our impact?
I love that. And in our meeting that we had, we started getting to know each other. And by the end of it, I was taking notes and saying, oh, wow, I need to do this. So I am a testimony to someone who has only met with you one time and just felt so much clarity from our meeting. And I think that that's something that you really can offer people in a world where there's so much clutter and there's so much noise and so many people that are just running around like chickens with their head cut off. Like, I don't know where to go. I don't know where the money is. I don't know where my passion is. And you just settle them down, and then you say, what are your four things that you're messaging? What are the things that you feel called to share about? And then what are the 13 things that come from that? And then, yeah, the quarterly thing. And I just love that you can take what someone's saying and say, so you're telling me dot, dot, dot. And you say, so you're telling me that this is what you're focusing on, and this is what you're, and to have someone just to work out those things with is so helpful and so phenomenal in just the growth that needs to happen, and also the ability to get someone to be in the present moment. Because several years ago, I had a manager at a hotel I worked at, and he said, "Where are your feet right now, Lexi?" I was like, "Well, in your office." And he was like, "Exactly. You can't be anywhere else, whether you like it or not, than in my office. And so you need to be present where your feet are." And I was like, whoa. And that was just such a good, just little nugget for me to remind me that, yes, I have goals and I have ambitions and I have to-do lists, but I can only be in one place at one time in all its beauty and all its glory and all its mess. Right. Yeah. So habits are obviously really important, forming habits and setting up those little sprints, like you said, those 6-week sprints, and then kind of looking at the quarterly. So what are some other tips and tricks and tools in this short amount of time that we have together? I know that this is something that someone could take an entire year course about, is what you teach. But just give us something maybe practical to walk away with.
Yeah, I actually have two quick things. One is, especially for all my goal getters out there, because that is us, right, Lexi? We can start to live in the future because we have ambitious hearts. And then what happens is we start to get frustrated with the present because we're so caught up in our future goals and the dreams, which is good. We're supposed to have those. So one thing that I do is I like to listen to people who I admire. And I listen to their story because they talk about the first 5 or 10 years being horrible and being like really unsure and unstable, right? And so I think we need to hear those stories to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. We can totally fulfill whatever we're going out to achieve, whatever that looks like. But that this moment, present, like frustrations and disappointments and closed doors and all of that, it's a part of the process. And so it helps you to not feel discouraged, but instead just use kind of a growth mindset to navigate those, you know, complexities, if you will, and stay the course. But another one that I use literally on a daily basis, and I'm writing a book about it, is called Stop and Shift. Stop stands for silence, thoughts on purpose, because more often than not, we are caught in a negative thought cycle. And that can be anything from worry and anxiety to, you know, stress and overwhelm, even disappointment. Something somebody said to you and you're feeling offended by it and you're running over and over in your head, right? But those all waste your energy. And so if you can silence those thoughts on purpose, then you can shift to something that's more productive and more positive, because life is only going one direction and that's forward. So if you notice you're dwelling, then recognize that, silence those thoughts, and then shift forward. Now, shift for me stands for see hope, intentions, facts, and new thoughts. Hope is because a lot of times we just feel hopeless, right? Like where we are right now is overwhelming. So if you can have hope, that'll help you to move through the present moment. Intentions is because sometimes we show up and we need to check our intentions before we respond to somebody else, before we respond to a situation. And then facts is just making sure that, you know, your ego or your emotions are not leading the conversation or your response to a situation. And then after you kind of work through any of those, then you get new thoughts. But that's not supposed to be a catch-all. That's kind of like a starting point. Remember earlier I said, if you're feeling a negative thought, switch to the opposite, right? That is shifting. And after you shift, then you are going to have new thoughts. And every word, every action, every habit, everything starts with a thought. And if you can be self-aware and notice that voice in your head, then you can choose which one you are going to harness your power to. It's going to be good or bad. And then that's how you move forward. And so I just want people to feel empowered by, one, recognizing their thoughts. It is not something that people say, oh, my mind is driving me crazy. No, you're driving yourself crazy, right? And then I want you to feel empowered to not let those dominant emotions, listen, we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts per day.
Wow.
And most of those are negative or defeating if we are not careful, that's why I say mental health is not just mental illness. You may have seasons of this, mm-hmm. but we have to make sure that we are being intentional with different strength training exercises. And stop and shift is just one of those. Breathing exercises are great. You know, visualizations are awesome, all of those things. But if you can really get like just a handful of tools, and actually I'll mention a download that people can grab if they want to. But if you can just grab a handful of tools and exercises and practice those in your mind, you will literally change the neuroplasticity of your brain, which trains your brain to be stronger and focused, more centered and calm. And when you have all of those things, that's when you will have full access to that spiritual phone line to God, right? Is to say, hold on, let me just clear my mind of all this clutter. Mm. Let me open it up for the spirit to come inside of me. Okay, now what do I do next? But you have to learn how to be aware and to shift away from the negativity.
That's really powerful. And so with going back to habit and forming these habits, what are some milestones that we can maybe look at during the day to just remind ourselves, oh, when I'm drinking my coffee, I need to make sure that I'm having a good thought process. Or when I turn on the TV, do I need to turn on the, you know, like what, how do we identify those moments throughout our day?
Yeah. So first, I like to start my morning with motivation. So I'm listening to a motivational podcast or a video or something. So set your morning with intention for the rest of the day. And that could be anything. I also do breathing. If you can only fit in one exercise, that's fine. But in the morning, start with something positive. Throughout the day, every single disruption, whether it is you're losing your patience with your kid or your spouse, or you're in traffic, notice that, hold on, wait a second. This is an opportunity to practice shifting away from this tension or this anger or this impatience, just like fall behind that energy. And then at the end of the day, I'm always thinking about what I'm grateful for. Because if you're dwelling on negative thoughts throughout the day, at the end of the day, whether it's something that happened throughout the day or something you are worried about in the future, right before you go to sleep, you're not going to have great sleep. You're going to feel restless, and then you're going to wake up tired again, right? So take charge of your mind. I tell my son, like, let's start our dream before we go to sleep. What are some things that you want to think about, right? For him, it's implanting. For me, it's like goal setting, right? I'm looking forward to something else that I'm doing, or I'm imagining myself in a space that's just full of love and energy and growth. Like, I will literally create this image of good before I fall asleep, so I am not dwelling on the things that are stressing me out. So I feel like morning, noon, and night, there's always something for you to do.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that. Just thinking about if we can set ourselves up for dreams, that is, so have you had dreams based on some of the things that you've thought about before bed?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I've never been the kind of person who can remember all the details in my dream, but like yesterday, I remember I was falling asleep and I was thinking about, I'm getting ready to go over to the West Coast for, not getting ready, but early 2020, I'm going over to the West Coast for a speaking opportunity. So I was imagining like driving along the mountains and like being in Portland and seeing all the different scenery because I've never been there before. And so just looking forward to that. And then in my dream, I'm like speaking. Now, I don't know if I was speaking in Portland, but I was definitely doing a presentation. So I do feel like the other thing is I always wake up just feeling good. Not feeling stressed out, not feeling, you know, overwhelmed, not feeling like, oh, did I forget to do something yesterday? I leave yesterday behind me and I'm like, what do I need to get done today?
Love that. So you touched a little bit about mental illness, and have you seen someone who's come to you that may have thought that they were struggling with mental illness, whether it's anxiety or depression, and just through working on, I'm not saying that these things, I think that sometimes people think that, it's downplayed and it's not taken seriously. I absolutely believe that it is extremely serious. So don't hear me wrong when I say this, but have you seen someone that has come thinking they have a chemical imbalance and through working with you has turned around kind of the way that their brain has interacted with their day, and whether it's fully healing someone or just really lessening the blow of some of these panic attacks or anxiety or depression?
Yeah. So what I've seen is that when I give people these tools, and I'm thinking of a client in particular who had two really major experiences in 24 hours. I mean, life-changing, life-altering. She had no idea that this was coming to her. And we worked together for about a year. And so what happened was she was able to move through those grief moments throughout the year. She was able to get through them quicker, right? Mm. Now, that does not, and I agree, mental illness is a real thing. Like, people do have chemical imbalances for a lifetime, right? And you should seek out the help that you need. But it's also about taking ownership for your healing, mm. right? It's not just relying on a prescription. It is looking at your thoughts, deciding to manage them. When you get hit with a grief wave or anxiety attack or anything, literally taking charge of that moment, right? Sometimes it's crying for 2.5 hours if you need to, and that is okay. Sometimes it is venting, but venting in a constructive way, you know? Mm. All the coaching that I do, if we need to vent about something, that's fine. That's great. You can, but we're going to pull some growth at the end of this, right? Mm-hmm. And so this woman in particular, very early on, because of the shock and just not, there are a lot of unexpected life circumstances that come our way. We can all relate to that. So it felt so unfair. And so as she was dwelling in that space and feeling anxious about the transition that she was in, there was all this uncertainty that was looming on her. And so what I noticed is that she started to, in our coaching calls towards the end of that year, it wasn't just a call or a text in the moment. It was our next session being like, well, let me tell you how I got through this. It was like she knew that she had the tools and she had the perspective to work through that moment. And instead of letting it, you know, linger for 3 or 4 days or a week or so, she noticed when she was able to get herself through it. She Wow. could tell me step by step, I did this, I honored that, I went through this, I wrote then, and then the next day I felt like. And I feel like that's what it means to be mentally strong. Mm. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have any negative thoughts. Yep. Doesn't mean that you're not going to cry or never feel overwhelmed or anything. It just means that you know that you're going to own this moment and you're going to roll with it and you're going to mm-hmm. flow in a way that you're going to come out on the other side. And that is mental strength. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the people I work with, they are not struggling with long-term mental illness and chemical imbalance, but they are in a season of yes. depression or anxiety or stress. And that's the reason I also deal with that is because that's what I'm familiar with, right? Right. And so I think that people who struggle with mental illness because of that long-term imbalance should 1000% be seeing their yep. physician and their therapist, right? Mm-hmm. Because that is also usually when that happens, there's a lot of things in the past, like childhood things that have happened that they need to work through. And having a psychotherapist is really, really good to help with that. For me, I'm usually meeting people at a present moment. And some of the past pain only comes into play if it is a belief that's restricting them from moving forward. Mm. So I do my mindset coaching from a growth mindset perspective.
Yep. I love that. I love that. I think that there's a space for all of it because I've seen people that have found an immense amount of change in their life from meeting with the psychiatrist and getting on medication to then move forward. I've seen people meet with counselors to then move forward. And I, depending on your walk and your journey, could meet with a mindset coach or a growth coach in helping someone to say, here's where I am, here's where I want to be. And so all of it is a journey, all of it is growing, and it's just kind of making sure that you're kind of picking which area you fit into and then seeking out the accountability from there. And sometimes your church can be a great place where you're in a small group in a Bible study. And sometimes it's seeking out professional help that you invest in. And the investment of spending money on this, I think is so underrated. I think that in today's day, we are valuing mental health and mindset way more than we ever have before. And I'm super grateful for you stepping into this space and being a leader in this charge, because I think it's incredibly important and is going to change lives. So thank you so much for just your time and your energy and your belief in people. I think that that is a huge, huge, huge just blessing to those who are in your path, and your belief in them and your encouragement and your love for people really shines through your character. So I'm so grateful to have had you on the show.
Oh, Oh, thanks, Lexi.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You are created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His purpose and His glory. So go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl.
So much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.